Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, this past Thursday was Groundhog's Day, a very special day to me. You see, I consider Valentine's Day to be what I call a Hallmark holiday, so I ignore it. Yet my lovely wife deserves special attention, so she gets flowers on Groundhog's Day. That was especially fun when she was teaching, and I sent flowers to her at the school, and she got to explain why she got flowers. So that's one more thing you now know about the host of Frontlines of Freedom. And joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. You celebrate Groundhog's Day differently than I do, don't you, Skip?
Oh, yeah, Colonel. We certainly do. Typically, we have a Groundhog's Day dinner, and we'd like to celebrate it eating the groundhog. So that tells you a little bit about the co-host of Frontlines of Freedom.
And yet, we're still friends, I think.
Yes, we are. Groundhog pizza, there's just nothing like it, Colonel.
That I believe. Okay, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss Russia and use of nuclear weapons. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will add his warrant wisdom. Next, General Tom McInerney will discuss defending our Constitution and our nation's last two elections. Then Elaine Donnelly from the Center for Military Readiness will discuss our woke military. And Mike Carmona will discuss the Warrior Music Foundation. It's awesome.
Hey, troops. Please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Or by Facebook. And now it's time for News and Comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. Of course, we'll start with the news. Take us there, Skip. What's the first one?
Well, U.S. Central Command Forces conducted a partnered helicopter and ground assault raid in eastern Syria last month, capturing two ISIS Syria members, an ISIS facilitator, and an ISIS facilitator and logistician, and one associate. One civilian received minor injuries. Quote, the injured civilian was escorted by our partner forces to a nearby medical facility along with an accompanying family member, said a CENTCOM spokesperson. He received care and was released back to his family. The capture will disrupt the terrorist organization's ability to further plot and carry out attacks that threaten regional security and stability. ISIS represents a threat to our partners and to the people of Iraq and Syria and beyond, he added. Our mission to defeat ISIS alongside our partners continues.
I'm glad we're helping nations fight terrorism, including and especially ISIS, but it has to be their fight in their country with our help.
The first ever thorough analysis of the state of cybersecurity of the U.S. Defense Industrial Base reveals that nearly 90% of its contractors do not meet the required security standards. Defense contractors possess sensitive national security information and are being constantly targeted with sophisticated hacking operations led by state-sponsored hackers. An in-depth analysis of the Pentagon supply chain was commissioned and run. The survey questioned 300 U.S.-based contractors last July. The supply chain of the departments in question was evaluated using the Supplier Risk Performance System, which is the DoD's single authorized system to retrieve supplier security performance information. Contractors who do not possess an SPRS score of 70 or higher are deemed non-compliant. To be fully compliant requires a score of 110. A startling 89% of contractors have a score of less than 70. 25% scored between 70 and 110 in some areas, while only 11% received a score that is regarded as fully compliant. The research conclusions show a clear and present risk to U.S. national security.
It's pretty clear that all those in senior leadership in our government who have anything to do with national security have been asleep at the switch. It's clear that much of our classified information has been available to China, Russia, and other hostile countries. Some senior people need to be held responsible in public and soon.
As the number of illegal immigrants flooding across the southern border continues to increase, so does the number of illegal immigrants who die while crossing into our country or soon after. Customs and Border Protection recorded a total of 880 illegal immigrant deaths in fiscal 2022, which ended last September 30th. It's the highest number of deaths since data became available in 1998. The second highest number on record was fiscal year 2021 with 566 deaths.
Add all these to the deaths of all our children who are dying of fentanyl poisoning, and our federal government apparently doesn't care, as they will not secure our southern border. What is wrong with them?
The Marine Corps has reactivated an historic base on the island of Guam as part of an ongoing reshuffle and reorganization of troops in the Pacific. The service held a ceremony to establish Marine Corps Base Camp Blaz, the first new base for the Marines in 70 years, at Asan Beach in Guam. Ultimately, 5,000 Marines will be stationed there. Guam was chosen as a location for a new base in 2012 as part of a broader defense agreement between the U.S. and Japan. The move of Marines from Okinawa to Guam doesn't end our military presence at Okinawa.
The Japanese people and their government has long wanted our large military presence on Okinawa reduced. One of the reasons for our large military presence there was to deter China from attacking. Japan is taking a much more active military role and is working with us and other nations like Australia to defend against China.
Stefano Sonino, Secretary General of the European Union's European External Action Service, said that Russia has taken its war against Ukraine to a different stage by making indiscriminate attacks on civilians and non-military targets, while criticizing Moscow for triggering recent moves by Germany and the U.S. to send advanced tanks to Ukraine. Sonino defended German and U.S. provisions of the military equipment to Ukraine and criticized Russian President Putin for waging a war on NATO and the West. He said German and U.S. tank provisions are meant to help Ukrainians defend themselves in the war, rather than making them attackers. The EU is not moving the war into a different stage, but is just giving the possibility of saving lives and allowing the Ukrainians to defend themselves from these barbaric attacks.
Okay, President Biden said we will send 31 M1 Abrams tanks, reversing months of persistent arguments by Washington that they were too difficult for Ukrainian troops to operate and maintain. The decision followed Germany's agreement to send 14 Leopard 2 tanks from their own stocks. So Ukraine is going to get a total of 45 tanks. That's barely a tank battalion. To make a difference, they'd need at least 30 battalions, in my humble opinion. What in the world is our leadership thinking?
And our special operations forces have killed a senior Islamic State group official and 10 other terrorist operatives in remote northern Somalia. The operation carried out late last month targeted Bilal al-Sadani, a key financial facilitator for the global terrorist organization in a mountainous cave complex. Quote, "This action leaves the United States and its partners safer and more secure, and it reflects our steadfast commitment to protecting Americans from the threat of terrorism at home and abroad," Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said in a statement. Sadani, who has been on the radar for U.S. intelligence officials for years, played a key role in helping to fund Islamic State operations in Africa, as well as the ISIS-K terrorist branch operating in Afghanistan. No civilians were injured or killed in the operation, Pentagon officials said.
Job well done. We need to continue to find and kill those who would kill us and our friends. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CV4A.org. That's CV4A.org. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with General Tom McInerney. At ease, troops, take a break.
This is Lieutenant Colonel retired John Barry, managing partner of Barry Law. For over 50 years, Barry Law has defended the rights of Americans, both on the battlefield and in the courtroom. We are committed to supporting our fellow service members. If you need help appealing your VA disability decision, find us at PTSDlawyers.com or call 888-883-2483.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coria with your home defense tip of the week. Sit down with your children and make a plan for home defense. Let them know that if shooting starts, they should drop to the ground for safety. If they hear breaking glass or see a home invader, they should notify you immediately if safely possible. If they can't get to you, they should hide until the danger is over. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
Fellow Americans, we need your help. PatriotFoods.com. We are fighting for the American farmer. U.S. only fruits and vegetables from your soil. Go to PatriotFoods.com. Use your promo code FREEDOM and you get 10% off today. Support your U.S. farmer. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off. Thank you so much.
It's great food. I eat it. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. PatriotFoods.com. Promo code FREEDOM. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Troops, did you know American farmers are going out of business because people are buying foreign food? It's not good for our nation's security if we can't feed ourselves. We need to maintain our food independence by buying food grown in America. Patriot Foods is not emergency food. It's food produced by our farmers. I love it. Use the promo code FREEDOM and save 10%. Check PatriotFoods.com. That's PatriotFoods.com. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. The possibility of Russian use of a nuclear weapon in Ukraine is real. Moscow regularly engages in nuclear saber rattling, and its battlefield problems in Ukraine have led them to do more. Their use of nuclear weapons, even on a very limited tactical level, won't be cost-free. The global consequences will likely be bad for Russia. Even though tactical nuclear weapons were meant to alter the dynamics on the battlefield, their use by Russia really targets the West. The tactical target would be Ukraine, but the strategic audience would be the West. Russia could launch a tactical nuke in order to block a Ukrainian offensive, to destroy an urban center, or even to signal the willingness to further escalation by exploding it over an uninhabited area far from the front line. Regardless of the target, the principal goal would be to demonstrate to the West that Russia was willing to use the absolute weapon, breaking an international taboo, and, above all, threatening to escalate a local war into a wider conflict with devastating consequences for the whole continent, or maybe the whole world. The purpose of using nukes would be to terrorize the West, compelling it through the fear of further nuclear escalation to stop its military support for Kyiv. Putin may be calculating that, because of this fear, the West would cease the careful but regular and very effective logistical support of Ukrainian forces, letting the Russian military achieve battlefield dominance. Russia could be partially correct in that, because the immediate effect would likely be the loss of the superficial Western unity in support of Kyiv. In some European capitals, specifically Berlin, Paris, and Rome, while criticizing Putin for the use of nuclear weapons, a lot of voices on every side of the political spectrum will call for the end of hostilities, putting enormous pressure on Ukraine to yield to Moscow. Furthermore, there would be a growing chorus of European critics blaming Russia's use of nuclear weapons on the strongly pro-Ukrainian position of countries like Poland and the United States, that are the primary sources of arms for Kyiv and thus responsible for the escalation. This would satisfy two broad approaches always present in Western capitals. One is a continued search for a deep distrust for the United States, and the second is the dislike of Poland and other Central European countries that are seen in Germany and Italy as overly anti-Russian and thus an obstacle to reconciliation with Moscow. It's possible that the Western European response will be different if the Russians use a nuke over a Ukrainian city, causing thousands of civilian casualties, as opposed to on a sparsely populated area. In that case, there might be a popular moral outrage spurred by decades of anti-nuclear movements. The outcome, however, may not be a firmer posture against Russia, but a more generic call for some version of nuclear zero, targeting equally Russia and the U.S. In either case, the result will be that our nuclear presence in Europe will be politically more difficult. The response to a Russian use of a tactical nuke will likely be very different in Central Europe. Thus, because of heightened sense of threat because of the Western European opposition to nuclear weapons, Poland will likely renew its request to participate in nuclear sharing and to store tactical nuclear warheads on its territory. Moreover, as the pacifist pressures grow in Berlin, Central European capitals will increase their demands that Germany help aid them in their defensive efforts, as well as in helping another, likely larger, wave of Ukrainian refugees. This will stress an already tense intra-European relationship. So, instead of catalyzing a unified European response, a Russian use of nukes will deepen the different strategic postures in Europe, and overall a slightly positive outcome for Moscow, especially if the anti-nuclear pacifist factions win the arguments in Western European capitals. But the picture is more mixed with the rest of the world. A Russian use of nuclear weapons will likely result in much less support for Moscow from China and India, as well as India, who's on the sidelines. These two states have backed Russia, including by supplying it with weapons like Iranian drones and North Korean artillery shells, calculating that a Russian victory would continue to damage the existing international order, and conversely, that a Russian defeat would strengthen the West and allow a focus on Asia. But a Russian use of nuclear weapons could elevate the risk of dragging Beijing and Tehran into a wider nuclear war that could directly affect their interests and territories. So, these states fear entrapment by Russia and will likely detach themselves from Moscow if the movement goes nuclear. Obviously, Putin may think differently, leading him to use nukes in Ukraine. He may prefer a divided West over Chinese support, or he may think his domestic-based demands of victory in Ukraine, a nation he has told his people is inferior and full of fascists. Or, in desperation, he may order a nuclear attack for personal self-preservation to forestall a military loss on an operation that was supposed to be short and glorious. But, in the end, the effects would be likely detrimental to Russia, both for its narrow objective of dominating Ukraine and for the wider goal of restoring Russian global grandeur. We'll have to wait and see what happens. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
After months of asking, the Ukrainian military is set to receive more than 100 Western main battle tanks. This includes 31 of the U.S. M1 Abrams tanks, 14 British Challenger 2 tanks, and about 80 German-built Leopard 2 tanks. And while the arrival of the Western armor in Ukraine may appear to be something to celebrate, Russia says it's already planning on deploying possible countermeasures, including, apparently, an unmanned ground vehicle modified to become a robotic tank killer. It's expected that the Russian military is looking to adapt the Marker UVG, armed with anti-tank missiles. The unmanned Marker is either wheeled or tracked and was developed by the Android Technologies and the Advanced Research Foundation, which is essentially the equivalent to the United States Defense Research Projects Agency, or DARPA. Currently, there are just 5 Markers in existence, and 4 of them are being sent to Ukraine. Now, what is interesting is the Marker was always a proof of concept, a flagship project for the General Artificial Intelligence Program in Russia. So deploying it to Ukraine raises more questions than answers. The Marker has been tested primarily as a reconnaissance and intelligence gathering platform, where it could travel remotely and launch small, unmanned aerial vehicles as other reconnaissance platforms. And what's even more interesting is that these tests have been conducted in forests, and those environments are nothing like they're expected to face in a combat environment in Ukraine. Since the Marker has been a testbed vehicle, it's somewhat like Legos, and it can be fitted with whatever Russia can think up. However, that doesn't mean it's going to work. The whole point of unmanned vehicles is to take humans out of dangerous environments, but no one seems to be talking about what happens when the vehicle is destroyed or breaks down. Are soldiers expected to recover it? Which, of course, defeats the whole purpose of an unmanned vehicle. You know, Russia's had a long history of testing new technologies on the battlefield, many times before they're ready for service. For example, in 2018, Russia fielded a weapon-laden vehicle in Syria, which had so many problems, it was completely unusable. It only had a range of about 300 to 500 meters, it frequently broke down, and was even uncontrollable. So part of what may be happening here with the Markers is that Russia's trying to show it can field new technologies on the battlefield. However, with only 4 Marker vehicles being sent to Ukraine, it's likely this is more of a public relations stunt than an actual threat to the tanks being sent. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with General Tom McInerney about our past elections, Then we'll talk with Elaine Donnelly about our woke military. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Start with 50, take a break and do another 50, then stand at ease. Troops, America has gotten more dangerous. If you're like me, you'll defend yourself and your family with a firearm if necessary. As right as this is, if it happens, experts recommend not talking to police without an attorney present. That's why I'm a member of U.S. Law Shield. They are the very best self-defense insurance that I've found. They provide unlimited attorney coverage as needed at a very reasonable price. Check uslawshield.com, uslawshield.com, and use the code FRONTLINES. That's one word, FRONTLINES. You'll be glad you did.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care.
We are leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted.
Our key to success?
You. We bring your voice to leaders calling the shots so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity.
Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome retired Air Force Lieutenant General Tom McInerney. Like me, he's a West Point grad, but he transferred to the Air Force and flew. He later served as Deputy Chief of Staff for Operations and Intelligence, Headquarters Pacific Air Forces. He was commander of 3rd Air Force, Royal Air Force Station, Mendenhall, England. And in October 86, he was assigned as the Vice Commander-in-Chief of Headquarters U.S. Air Forces in Europe. So he's seen the defense of our nation from a lot of different positions geographically and position-wise. So thanks for joining us today, General. Glad you could do it.
I'm delighted to do it, Denny. Thank you very much for having me.
Tom, let's start at the beginning. Why did you want to go to West Point? What drew you there?
Well, I grew up in the Army. My father was an ordnance colonel. We lived in Germany right after World War II, and he ran the Mercedes and the BMW factories. And I had an older brother that was a class of 52 at West Point. I had a twin brother that we both went to West Point, class of 59, and a younger brother, class of 60, and he was killed on his second tour in Vietnam. So we had kind of an Army family, and but like my older brother, I wanted to be a fighter pilot. And got an inter-service transfer. I mentioned to you before we started, I had high-frequency hearing loss from being on the rifle range as a platoon leader in my first class year, as you would understand, as a senior. We came back for our graduation physicals, and in those days, 1958, nobody wore earmuffs. It wasn't manly, Denny.
Yes, sir, I remember that.
I had a ringing, I still have a ringing noise from being on that rifle range day in and day out, teaching recruits at Fort Dix. But I got the first inter-service transfer. I had a special test done after on my first class senior year, but it didn't get in time. And that was the year the Air Force Academy graduated their first group. And they had opportunities, a law that you could have inter-service transfers. And that's how I got through to it.
But okay. Talk about your time as a pilot. Obviously, you flew a lot of different things, mostly fighters?
All fighters. Now, I flew some other aircraft, but I was primarily qualified in fighters. I was, although I commanded C-130s and that, I was primarily fighters. Started out in F-100s, went to F-104s, then went to my first tour in Vietnam to L-19s. That was back in 63, 64. I was the first Ford air controllers permanently into Vietnam. And I had three tours after that. But then I was flying Phantoms and introducing new Phantom aircraft, F-4Ds and F-4Es. And then I got involved with the F-15 in the development of it and had an F-15 air division on Okinawa. And then in 3rd Air Force, I had 111s, which I'd already flown, and then had as Vice Commander-in-Chief of U.S. Air Forces Europe at the height of the Cold War, I was flying F-15s and F-16s. So I got to fly a lot of our latest fighters.
Did you have a chance to jump out of any of them? Since you went to airborne school before you were in the Army.
I elected not to do that. Save the Air Force $10 or $20 million.
Well, I'm glad that you didn't have the opportunity. Well, maybe not opportunity, the need to ever jump out.
Yes. Okay.
Among other things, you're a political commentator now. And I believe you work with the American Enterprise Institute. Is that true?
No, I do not work with AEI. I was a Fox News military analyst for 16 and a half years. And then I got fired for calling John McCain Songbird John. And I didn't invent the term. It came out of North Vietnam. North Vietnamese called that. But that's a complicated story. It's another day we can talk about it.
Yeah, we don't need to go there. Okay, this is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with General Tom McInerney. Tom, we both served and we fought to protect our Constitution. I understand that you have some serious concerns about the last two elections in our nation. They certainly were different than any before that I've ever noticed. Please share your insights on those.
Well, they're serious concerns. I am called an election denier, which means the Democrats want to demonize me. But I got in 2017, I went on the air with Dr. Dave Janda. I'd gotten some inputs from a retired Navy four-star named Admiral Ace Lyons. And this was March 17th in 2017, right after Trump had come in. And I was told that the Democrats had used and were using a top secret special access program. That was a CIA program called Hammer, which I had not been briefed on. So I could talk about it. It came from open source material. And I said that they briefed on the Trump campaign, as well as Trump was in office now for 2 months. And of course, what followed was the Russian hoax, whatever, you know, we call it, in which the mainstream media and everybody piled on. We had a special counsel on it, and they didn't find anything. And now everybody, Denny, knows that that was all deception by the Democrats and the FBI, the intelligence community, CIA, and others. And it, in fact, was a deception. They were the ones that were working with the Russians and falsifying, putting out the information. Elon Musk has, of course, verified that with what he has released. Now, 2 days before the election in 2020, I got a call from a source that said that the Democrats were going to use Hammer on the 2020 election. And this was on a Sunday night, November 1st. And I ended up talking to Rudy Giuliani and one other person, Sidney Powell, through sources. And I then talked to some in-government sources, and I went on Steve Bannon's show on the 2nd of November, 2020. That was a Monday. The election was on the 3rd. And I said that the Democrats were going to use a secret program called Hammer with an application called Scorecard, which would manipulate votes. I was very, very concise on this. It turns out Sidney was the co-anchor with Steve Bannon on that show. And I predicted that they were going to do it and would win the election. The next day, of course, as you know, 5 of the 6 battleground states, they being Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. In 5 of those 6 battleground states, about 9:30 or 10 o'clock on the evening of the 3rd of November, shut down and quit counting. The next morning came out, I was surprised Fox predicted Trump would win, and I was really stunned when they called the election, having worked for them for 16 and a half years, and I could tell that they were complicit. And we can go in why I did that, but the fact is 5 of the precincts in those states shut down. and Maricopa County and Fulton County in Georgia and Detroit County and the different ones. And they were the precincts that had the largest minority in those states. As it turned out, and this number I'll always remember, 0631 hours on the 4th of November, 0631 being early in the morning, Michigan announced that they had 242,220 votes, something like that, all for Biden. And it came in at 0631 hours, which tells you, if you really understand the business, that cyber was used. And that number gave Biden, who ran his campaign out of the basement, about a 2% win. And that's what it was, 2 to 3% in those six battleground states.
And there's more to discuss about our nation's elections, and Tom is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. Thanks for joining us. It's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do some days. Then take a break, but stay in the area. Tom and I will be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
HealthVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HealthVet.net. HealthVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
This is Colonel Denny Gilliam. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with retired Air Force Lieutenant General Tom McInerney. We've been talking about the last two national elections held in our nation. Tom, you were specifically talking about the last election when President Trump was defeated.
Correct. And they used it turns out that program was, I believe, sold to the Chinese, and the cyber was coming out of China and other locations, Pakistan, the ISI, et cetera. And someone had to sell that. James Baker was fired by Elon Musk and Twitter, and there were 80 former CIA employees or FBI working for Twitter. Now, it's now evident that the people that Twitter manipulated the data that was being spread, took Hunter Biden's laptop, wouldn't let that be announced, a whole host of things. And so that influenced the outcome of the election. That's going on in Arizona right now. So Trump fought that, and as people know, he continued to write up through the inauguration to contest it. What he wasn't able to get done, and here's the sniff test, Denny. If Biden got the most votes of any president in the history of America, 81 million, he would be demanding audits in all 50 states for bragging rights. Don't you agree?
Yes.
He would put people like me out of business that, yes, I could not contest it. But he hasn't done that. As a matter of fact, they've spent, and I'm estimating, upwards of $100 million contesting and protesting any audits in any of the states. Now, that seems very strange to me, because they could put me right out of business by just doing audits. And we're seeing it for Kerry Lake in Arizona today, that they are contesting when she is trying to get an audit and prove it. And by the way, she had 38,000 votes, because I'm going to jump from 2020 election into the midterms. 2022 that we just had a couple months ago. The Republicans won 5 Senate seats, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. And you're saying, what are you talking about, General? You're saying they won 5 Senate seats? And I'm saying yes. And none of them were contested. Now, why aren't the Republicans contesting these votes? Look, John Fetterman in Pennsylvania can't even carry on a conversation. And he lost to Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz had 330,000 votes stolen from him using cyber. Herschel Walker had 111,000 votes stolen from him. So these facts, Kerry Lake had 38,000 in this last election stolen from her. Now, the other tool they use is the mail-in ballots. And those are easy to get. Kerry Lake is putting that out right now, and they're trying to put her under legal conditions and try her for pointing this out. But those are the two ways they use cyber warfare and the corruption. Now, there are probably 100 different ways, from dead people, et cetera, people that have moved out of state, a whole host of things, Denny, that they do to cheat. And you hear no Republicans contesting this, do you?
No.
Why didn't Mitch McConnell contest those 5 Senates? Well, Mitch is complicit. Like the mainstream media is complicit. Fox News is complicit. And if anybody says what I'm saying, they're demonized. All we need to do is an audit. It could take a week to do audits in those states. Why don't they do them? Put people like me out of business. But they haven't. Does anybody really think that Joe Biden, the most he probably had was 12 or 25 people in one of his rallies in 2020, that he actually beat Trump? No. So we have problems with Republicans not doing their job. Rona McDaniel as the Republican National Committee, she ought to be leading this. If I can find this information out and it's public, Dennis Montgomery invented hammer and scorecard, CIA programs. We just had down in Brazil, Denny, that they moved 5,188,344 votes from Bolsonaro over to Lula, and he won. Now there are no more democratic countries in South America. And the Chinese Chaicoms are the ones that did that. Now, there's no way that CIA, Cyber Command, NSA, FBI, DHS could have missed that. And I say that because when I was vice commander in chief, Vysink Yousaf, at the height of the Cold War, I managed the largest theater nuclear forces in the world. And all I can say is the tippers come from cyber. That's all I can say.
Okay.
I know what we're looking at. I know we're looking at China. I know we're looking at Russia. I know we're looking at Pakistan, these nations that have nuclear weapons. I assure you. Now, Denny, we have a problem in America. And as a result of I call him Biden, Joe Biden, because Obama is key behind what's going on. We have had, the first day Biden took office, he gave up our energy independence. That's a national security issue. No nation has ever done that when he quit the drilling in that. Number two, Afghanistan was a deliberate surrender. That was not a withdrawal. You know that. I know that. And we deliberately surrendered it. $85+ billion worth of equipment. We have critical race theory being taught at West Point right now, being taught at the academies in New York City right now, K through 12 in college. When the chairman, General Milley, talked about white rage, Danny, I spent 35 years in the Air Force. I don't know what white rage is. I remember when I left as a Brigadier General Okinawa, Kadena, I launched 55 F-15s, single-seat airplanes. I didn't care where the pilots went to school, who their mommy and daddy was, what their skin color was. All I cared about was performance.
And that's where we need to be, Tom. I absolutely agree with you. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with General Tom McInerney. Tom, we clearly have a mess. What can we citizens do about this? Is this the time for us to be calling our congressmen and senators and asking them about this and holding them accountable? What do we do?
All right. That's what we've got to do. It's going to take a couple more shows for us to lay this out. But you get it. You lived in the military. You know why we were so successful. And we, the people, have got to take our country back, because no longer we have a unconstitutional administration right now. They are inserting Marxist ideologies, critical race theory. They are inflating the dollar. That's why we've got this unbelievable price increases and inflation. They have open borders. We must change all these things. 3 years ago, we didn't have any of these problems, Denny. And we, the people, that's why what you are doing is so critical. You have the courage to have people on like me, and I've got to defend my logic. And it's easy to defend talking about the military to you because you had a career there. You know exactly what I'm talking about. We didn't have a military that was driven by skin color. It was performance. And if you've got a platoon or a company or brigade, you don't care what their skin color is. You care about their performance. And that's why it's important what you are doing and having people on like me. We have this inflation that's going on with the dollar. And the American people, this is the most serious threat we've had since the Civil War, World War I, and World War II. And I say that because we knew when we had a war in the Civil War, World War I, and World War II. People do not realize we now have a war. And when you and I took the oath of office on the plane many years ago to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, never did we think that we would have domestic enemies like we have in the CIA, in the FBI, the Department of Justice, the Commander-in-Chief. Barack Hussein Obama laid in this deep state. And once that started, after I left, and under Obama, I was in the Pentagon 4 days a week. I never saw this coming, Denny.
Well, I understand that. Tom, we're about out of time. How can listeners stay in touch with you to keep getting your insights?
Well, because I come on programs like yours, I have all the programs come in the podcast, and I have them put on the Citizens Commission on NationalSecurity.org.
Tom, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation in uniform, but especially now. What you just shared, everybody needs to know, should already know, but it's time to take action. Thank you, brother.
God bless you and what you're doing, Denny.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Elaine Donnelly from the Center for Military Readiness. We'll discuss our woke military. And then Mike Carmona will present the Warrior Music Foundation. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines Freedom Troops. It's time for jumping jacks. Do 50 good ones. Grab some protein. Rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.